All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Gentlemen, welcome to Puck Off. I'm Joe Bartnick. Fraser Smith has he's a healthy scratch today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's filming something, so the coach is letting him off the hook. But we have two great guests. We have Aaron Cater right here.
Yes.
And the one and only Vinny Coppola.
Puck off.
Vinny's my favorite goaltender. He's the only one I can beat.
Oh, yeah? You beat him?
Everybody beats me, man. Yeah.
No. He's a goaltender.
I got a 50% save percentage, I think.
And he's from South Florida, so it's a nice little change of pace. And Aaron is you're a Washington Capitals fan.
Well, I'm mostly a Kings fan. I just grew up around DC, and I like that team, and I like what they try to do. But and if you believe it or not, I mean, let's be honest. If they went really deep in the playoffs, people wouldn't be that surprised. They'd be like, hey, they finally got over the hump. And you know, when the Kings won the Stanley, they just kind of came out of nowhere. It was like almost fluky. But now I'm mostly a Kings fan. And that's how it is when you're live in a place where they show your team on TV. You get to know that team. And I mean, I'd have to do a little research to keep up with what the Caps are doing day to day and who their bench guys and who all the other guys. Like, it's like baseball. You don't know what other teams are doing all the time. You pay attention to your team.
Right. You have to be as obsessed as me and watch all 82.
Unless you're that
for the Penguins. But I watch all the Kings games, too. And the Kings are, we'll talk about the Kings a little bit. I'm fired up for hockey because I just came back from Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Toronto. And you know what's crazy about Canada's amazing because everyone knows about hockey. You know, like in America, like even girls know about football.
A little bit, yeah.
But in Canada, like I'm at the airport bar and the chick at the bar, the bartender knew like the third line center for the Phoenix Coyotes.
That's great.
Who are the healthy scratches tonight?
They're
in
amazing.
Buffalo. Yeah. It's just amazing. It's fun. It's just so fun.
But at the Hall of Fame too, they like I couldn't find any Kings stuff because that was the year they won, and it was deep in the playoffs. And like everybody buys whoever's hot, and I'm like, they're such fans that they'd be like, oh, they're good. Give me a Carter jersey. Give me a Richards jersey. You know,
right.
I couldn't find any Kings stuff.
Last time I was in Montreal, I watched a hockey game that was in French. It was all in French, and I could still follow the game just by the intensity and the emotion of it.
That was good French.
Well, thank you.
I don't know any
actually,
French.
Actually, I almost said goal. I think it's le bee. It's like it's really, I think so.
I literally took French in high school 2 years. I got 7 D's and an F.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So I know my stuff.
That's pretty good, eh?
Yeah. Everything ends in A. That's what I thought about. That's how much I loved hockey in high school. I took French. Thinking, oh, maybe I'll be in the Quebec Junior League. But it never panned out. Well, what was amazing was I actually went to I have some contacts. I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I didn't even know it was Hall of Fame weekend. Actually walked. Chelios ran by me to collect his
very room. Nice.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
awesome.
Coming in the front door, and then you've been to the hall. Aaron's been to the Hall of Fame, and the downstairs is it's all colorful, and everything, and then upstairs is just like the church where you think like Gretzky and Lemieux are going to come down from with the Virgin Mary and land. It's the most amazing really thing in the world. Cool. It really is.
I haven't been to a lot of other Hall of Fames. I've heard baseball and football is pretty cool, but I actually really liked the way they had it set up. It's kind of in a mall atmosphere when you first walk in, and there's a place to eat, and there's a couple of things like almost like a food court.
Right.
But then as soon as you get in, it feels cozy. It doesn't feel like, if you go to Canton, Ohio, you better be going to the Football Hall of Fame. Or else, why else would you be in Canton, Ohio?
No, 100%. No,
there's not even a club there.
Yeah, exactly. And same with Cooperstown, and it's like. But Toronto's a real city, and it's got a lot going on. And then all of a sudden, you pop around the corner, and you're at the Hall of Fame. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have, you know, if you've never been there, downstairs, I think what you're talking about is really colorful. They have about 20 guys. They always have, like, Lemieux, Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr, Gretzky in full color with all the gear.
Nice.
And then if they rearrange a few other guys in and out, they change. And then they have the World section, which is nice. You see, like, Jagr's uniform. You see, like, the old, like, Soviet uniforms, the Italian uniform, all these old, even from countries like Turkey like Afghanistan's hockey team. And then you go upstairs, and then, like, that's the shrine.
Yeah. Right.
Where everyone's immortalized, and they have all the cups, and they glow. They have the old Stanley Cup from, like, whatever, like 1900, and they have all the rings that aren't there anymore. Right. I mean, it's literally like it's like the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, no, it is pretty cool.
Just put your hands on it and feel the.
Yeah.
Wait, Jagr's jersey? I mean, they got his jersey, but he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Not yet.
Yeah.
No. But they have his jersey from when he was in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
like
yeah.
in the world. You saw the world section. I think they have interactive, and I'm a big interactive guy. I'm not eight, but I but I did it. Yeah. I played goalie, which is interesting. I think because literally I stopped. I stopped what the shots that hit me. Everything else, like, it just, and like it, one of them threw me a knuckleball, and it was like, yeah. And it went by me like a gruff, like a flurry in the playoffs. Like, oh, what's this?
That's awesome.
It's
man.
A really cool interactive deal. Yeah, they shoot those Nerf pucks at you. And you yeah. just sit there, and like all the little kids. I wanted to get in there, but there was kids in there when I was there, and I was like, I'd like to, because that video screen, it'll be. I can't remember who it was. There's Gretzky, and there's just all these great
Messier
players
coming down on
shooting
you.
Pucks at you. I mean, how great is that?
I know. Nerf. And then the other one is you got to be you got to shoot on a goaltender.
Oh yeah.
And I'm known for my hands, certainly not my skating ability, but my hands. And then some little kid in front of me went like 3 for 5. He must have been Canadian. Yeah. So then I was next, and like I missed the first three, and I'm just like, I got to be this goaltender. So boom, I buried the fourth one. I was like, oh, thank God, that was good. Walked out of there one out of five. Okay, I'll take it. But the other fun thing I did was I went to the game. Now my contacts up there got me into the Hall of Fame for free, but they couldn't get any tickets because I didn't know. They're like, oh, everyone wants their tickets tonight. I had no idea why. It was the Hall of Fame game night. So I see some of my favorites. I mean, Brandon Shanahan and Chris Chelios are two of my all-time favorites.
Like Chelios.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have Niedermeyer. Niedermeyer's resume was better than everybody's.
Oh, yeah?
I couldn't. He had like 4 Stanley Cups, 3 gold medals, like 3 North. It was like, are you kidding?
Is his brother still playing?
No, I don't think his brother. Yeah. I don't know.
Former Florida Panther.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We'll get to the Panthers.
Yeah. Wait, so you're in Toronto at the Leafs game on a Saturday.
I was a Friday night, actually.
Oh, Friday night.
The whole reason I really wanted to go see the game was it was Jagr, maybe my last chance to ever see, probably my all-time, other than Lemieux, like, you know, Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like you've never done anything in hockey until you've been in Canada when they sing O Canada.
Yeah.
It was it was a Veterans Weekend, so everyone had the poppies on. Mm-hmm. I bought a poppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
was buy just, a poppy.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But that just wraps up my weekend. But talk about the Hall of Fame. But since we have a goaltender here, and since I literally, first time I ever donned the tools of ignorance, was at the Hall of Fame. What made you want to become a goalie, Vinny?
In the beginning, it was because I couldn't skate as well as my brother. And my brother was like this awesome skater, and I said, "Oh, I'll play goalie." But then, as I got better, I realized, you know what? I'd like it better in the net because that's where all the action is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it just because when you win a game, like they're like all your teammates are like, "Yeah, they're patting you on the back," you know, and you're like a hero. Like even if I scored no goals, but I'm a hero. But when you lose the game, and everybody's looking at you like, "Oh man,
you let them off. You
let us down, man, you let us down." So I always kind of enjoyed the fact that all the action was there.
Right, and you grew up in South Florida, so there. Definitely. I mean, it's maybe-
so I started. It was started on roller skates, believe it or not. Not even on rollerblades, because this is way back when I was in eighth grade. Me and my brother and my cousins would play on my tennis court. Yeah,
right.
So, that's cool.
I had I didn't really have pads at the time. I was just playing with baseball catcher,
right.
Shin guards, and you know the baseball stuff
and the orange ball marks
and orange, exactly. A lot of those,
right?
Yeah. That's dedication.
And a catcher mask. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the way it was in Pittsburgh, and even until Lemieux. I'd say 1990 is when it really started to change. But until then, we all just played stick hockey in the street.
With the ball.
Yeah, with the orange ball just coming at you. And I still never play. I don't want me to play goalie.
But that makes sense in Pittsburgh and, you know, a lot of hockey towns. But Florida, you know, people always wonder, how did that happen in Florida? And I'm sure people say that about Southern California, too.
Well, believe it or not, less than like 2 miles from the house where I grew up in South Florida, there was a skating rink and they had hockey leagues even before the Panthers got there.
Wow.
So there was ice hockey in Florida. It was sparse, but but it was there.
I wonder if that was started, though, by like, you know, Northeast transplants.
Oh, that's it. That's all there is down there. Oh, yeah, that's all. That's what, if I may talk about going to a Florida Panther game. I mean, when they're playing anybody, like, for example, New York Rangers were in Florida last night.
It's fine. It could be there when this airs.
Okay, good.
It's a long season, Vinny.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, they're in the same division.
If the Rangers score a goal in Florida, it's louder than when the Panthers score a goal. It's very aggravating.
That's how the Kings games used to be when the Canucks, you know, because for Canucks fans, they have to pay, you know, $1,000 for a great seat.
Yeah.
They come down here, and it's $200, and they can go to the Ducks game as well and Disneyland. And they turn it into a whole trip. So, just a few years ago, you go to a Kings game versus the Canucks, and it was mostly Canucks fans.
Well, that's who they used to be with the Penguins when we go play the Capitals. I saw like 3 Penguin games at the Cap Center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a 4-hour drive. It's easier. Well, you know what? I do that now when the Penguins come out west. I'll see them with the Kings, and it's like, what do I do? Do I go 2 hours in Anaheim traffic to watch them play the Ducks? No. I StubHub, I told this a couple times in the year, $4 seats, 3 rows back in Phoenix.
Yeah.
you guys.
It's the truth.
You guys have no idea how this does my heart good to hear that this ain't the only place that this happens.
No.
Oh, my God.
I will say this, though, about I was upset, but I was more insulted when the when your Florida Panther fans used to throw rats on the ice.
I was there for that whole season.
Yeah, I know. That's what I meant. Were you a rat thrower?
I was not a rat thrower.
Okay, because I thought that's Lemieux. I mean, you know, you're not throwing rats at, you know, it's not a beer league. I mean, that's Lemieux on the ice. You shouldn't be throwing rats.
Well, here's how that happened.
How did that happen?
Here's how that happened. Scott Mellenby, who was one of the, was like a co-captain for the Panthers at the time, the 95-96 season, he was in the locker room. This is the story. And a rat came across the locker room, and he hit it into, and it went right into the goal.
Oh,
and actually, he was on. I think he had like one goal and one assist for the season, so that was like a rat trick. So whenever the Panthers scored a goal, everybody would throw rats on the ice.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, that's how that happened. But I was almost at every home game for that season, that's the season that they went to the Cup, my friends.
Yes,
that's the season when they went to the Cup.
They beat the Penguins in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, they did, and I was there for every one of those home games.
What year was that?
96.
Captain Ron broke his foot in the playoff game the series before, and he was on the bench. That really hurt us, but no excuses. I mean, we
96. Who we won lost. That year?
The Avalanche swept us in 4 games. Avalanche swept us in 4, wow. Man. Yeah. That was Wah. Wah and goal for the Avalanche.
Yeah.
Patrick, Wah is on fire now as a coach, if you've been paying attention to that.
Yeah. Avalanche was unstoppable that year, man. They were
great. They're a good team. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things is a lot of times teams creep up. And then boom, then they meet their maker.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they might have, you know, if Francis wasn't hurt, he probably wouldn't have beat us, and then it would have been like he got as far, but sometimes you just skip ahead.
Yeah.
And then boom, then it's really like, you know, you meet.
Right. We really believed that the Penguins were going to be our end that year. Matter of fact, there was all kinds of commercials on TV that Bud Ice was saying, drink Bud Ice, but beware of the Penguins.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you guys have already picked them. You've already picked them as the winner.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Vinny,
do you remember those commercials?
I completely remember it. It makes me even sicker because I remember watching it like in the finals, and they weren't in the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sitting there watching the finals going, ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you grew up in Washington, D.C., Aaron, correctly?
Yeah, but the thing about that area is even though there's a lot of Caps fans, and the Caps have a, you know, decent history. You know, they basically made the playoffs a ton and had a lot of good players come through there, including a couple of dirty players.
Dale Hunter.
One of them, Dale Hunter, who everybody hates.
Who had arguably the cheapest shot I've
of
ever
all
seen,
time.
Of all, and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Pierre Turgeon.
And
literally the dirtiest
it ruined
shot
his
of
career.
Yeah, well, it ruined the Islanders' chances to go to the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's what killed me. It's like you lost. You know, that was, for the people listening who don't know, the Islanders had just knocked basically the Capitals out of the playoffs. So as Turgeon scores the series clinching goal, he's celebrating. Heiner gives him a cheap shot of the boards, which even in a game would get you three games.
Right. Yeah. His hands were
in
up.
In today's hockey.
His arms were up. He was celebrating. The game was over, and cheap ass, Hunter couldn't take it. And he goes, and it hurt his career. It shortened his career. Hunter goes on to become one of the greatest dirty players of all time. And I grew up, knowing him and not realizing outside of D.C. and my wife's from Calgary, and when we first started getting together, I said, oh, I like the Caps. And that was the year the Caps were a pretty high seed and got knocked out early in the playoffs. And the next year, they were a bottom seed, knocked out, the Bruins, I guess. Remember that a couple of years?
Yeah.
Anyway, so she hates the Caps. And I go, why do you hate the Caps? She goes, I just hate them. I hate them. I hate them. And it came down to Ovechkin versus, Crosby.
Really?
And she loves Crosby. She's a huge Pittsburgh fan. Yeah. She travels to Pittsburgh every year or two with
her
brother.
She sounds like a lovely lady.
You should actually have her in here. If you can't find a woman to come in here on one of these, you should have her. She's great.
Yeah, we would love to have a woman in here. Yeah. It's just she's from Canada, so she's qualified.
She's qualified.
She's a woman in those hockey. Yeah.
And you know what? She does really know her hockey, and I've learned a lot. I'm way more into hockey now. We'll get into it later why I'm more into hockey than I ever was is because of her. But the point is, I didn't realize that outside of D.C., the way we were viewed and the way the Caps' history was viewed. And she's like, you guys are a dirty team. You guys are the Caps. You guys are the – and I'm like, oh, God, I didn't know that's how people saw the Caps.
Well, I will say this, though, and I know everyone listening knows that I just bash the Flyers every chance I get. But you're not hated like the Flyers. I mean, that was the greatest thing about standing in line for the event at the Hall of Fame. And every team from every city, Ranger fans, Devils fans – Just all across Canada, everybody hates the Flyers.
Yeah.
Everybody hates the Flyers. And it just means breathing fresh air. the hatred for the Flyers.
They just hate them.
Yeah, because, everyone who just loves regular, just love to see hockey.
Yeah.
And not just cheap shots and brawls and bullshit.
Right.
They're the Flyers. I mean, because really the way the Canadians see it is they kind of degraded the game.
Oh, really?
Because, they took the beauty of the Montreal Canadiens and their hot dynasty, and what did they just took it and just beat everybody up.
Yeah, what are some other great nicknames of teams? Like they were the Brawlers of Broad Street, right?
Broad Street Bullies.
Broad Street Bullies, right?
The Big Bad Bruins. The Bruins were kind of they were tough, but they weren't dirty.
Right.
See, there's the biggest difference. See, like the Flyers the other night with the brawl when they fought everybody. Mm. It's one thing. No one's against hockey fighting or hockey brawls. But when you're up 7-1, why are you assaulting a goaltender?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was against against the Caps, too.
Yeah. Right.
I was upset by that because Holtby was like, I don't want any piece of this, Emery, And Emery's like, nope.
You're going to have it.
Yeah, and then the refs just sit there and spectate it. And that's we'll get into the fighting.
Well, let's get into it. I mean, we got in,
Because I prefer, all right, I was rooting for the Canucks against the Bruins a few years ago, and it's not because I got anything against Boston or anything. I just got a lot of friends that like the Canucks. And I like that they play a finesse, kind of tape to tape, kind of got these plays, they got these guys. I would rather watch a fast, sleek, skill game than a bully fight, slow it down, elbow you in the face game.
Absolutely.
I just think that if you wanted to market the NHL, that's what you want. And that's the whole deal about fighting. It's like a lot of people who are maybe apathetic towards hockey, like I was most of my life, they don't really care to see the fighting. But if you're a real hockey fan, you understand you get rid of fighting, you're changing the whole sport.
Yeah.
It's such a part of the sport, and it's not because they need fights. It's because without the physicality, it's a contact sport. It's a physical sport.
Yeah.
It's like football right now. It's like you want to change the sport and go backwards and have flag football or not. Like it's kind of all or nothing.
Well, right. I mean, they always. I'm pro fighting. I'm not exactly for staged fighting when the two goons just line up. Hey, let's go.
Right.
But I'm pro. But my argument. But now I'm starting to see the. When people say, well, it's not protecting the stars anymore. We're seeing more cheap shots than ever. And they're still fighting. And I just heard the other night, a guy, a color guy, said, "Oh, Sean Thornton, who I love and respect, he's not a goon, he's a role player, he's a tough guy. He stands up for his teammates." He goes, "Sean Thornton's probably the best on-ice policeman in the game." Then I thought, yeah, but the Bruins have had 3 headshot cheap shots done to their team this year.
Well, the Bruins, that's true.
You know what
that's
I mean?
True.
It's like, yeah. He is. I would love Sean Thornton on my team, but he's not stopping anything.
Well, but that's because the Bruins also have, like, you know, Marchand and these guys who are, like, little, I wouldn't say cheap shot.
They're rats.
Marchand's
a rat. He is. You know, he's a rat.
And the Bruins bully people, so that's why they probably get going at. But you're right, and at the same time, and, like, even though it's not like what Don Cherry says, you know, needs to, everybody listens to, but, you know, the instigator rule has to be changed. Everybody unanimously says, yeah, man, so we got to change the rule back. And every year they change rules, but they won't fix that.
Right. And I think that's the one thing that would change it and reduce that. Because, I mean, I use this a lot, too. It's like, it's the same thing as, like, they say, oh, suspensions and fines. That's like when your mom says, oh, you're grounded or you got to go to your room. That's not the same thing as your mom taking out the wooden spoon and beating your ass. You know, it's right. Like, so when, if Marchand cheapshots somebody and then, boom, someone's there to break their head open.
Right.
That's the that is a deterrent.
Right. Yes.
Yes. You know.
Well, the culture probably of hockey, and we were talking about this with football season this year. Everybody's talking about because that Miami Dolphins situation. They're like the culture of the locker room, the culture of the sport, and hockey has a little bit of problem with that. Where it's like you kind of have to change the culture of the game. You can still have fighting, and you can still have, and you get rid of the instigator rule, and it'll still be physical. But it's just that there's this like every sport has unwritten rules. And I hate unwritten rules because who gets to decide when that rule was broken and when that line was crossed? The players do.
Yeah.
And every player is different. And there's a couple of knuckleheads every once in a while who just decide, you went over the line. And then it's an ugly fight.
Well, I mean, I've been watching hockey now for 30 years. I've been watching hockey since the Penguins were blue.
Oh, wow. Right.
So, you know, I've never seen this many egregious, unless, you know, it's just every game's on TV now and other. But I've just never seen that many just egregious elbows to the temple.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Alf Samuelson open eye. Scott Stevens, I mean, I basically genuflected at the hall next to his drawing. He hit my favorite Ron Francis when he was in Toronto's final, his farewell try to steal a cup season. Mm-hmm. You know, he knocked him in the next. I remember Ronnie crawling to the bench. I mean, he ended Lindros's career.
Yeah.
Lindros.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, he just used to crush people, but they were never cheap elbows to the head.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
they were just hard hits.
Yeah, they were just hard hits, you know, and I mean, it's
And Lindros was a sweetheart, so everybody loved Lindros.
What? Talk about flyers, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Lindros is probably the only born flyer that I actually liked. Yeah. I actually respected.
I have always liked the Flyers' colors, and I always like when they play the Bruins or play the Penguins. Obviously, the Penguins because of that Pennsylvania situation, but right. I always kind of liked the history there and that they're brawlers. And like, I was almost rooting for them that one year when they kind of were good before they traded Richards and that whole team.
Right.
I kind of liked them, and I have a lot of friends from Philly too. And that's what happens to me. I'm like, oh, if I have a friend who's a real big fan of theirs, then I kind of, you know, have a little more sympathy for
him. It's like Ian Bagg, our last week's guest, Ian Bagg, like Vancouver. Now I feel bad for Vancouver losing for Bagg because I kind of want all my friends to get a cup. The other thing I root, except my Flyer friends, fuck them. But the other thing, I like markets. Like I thought it re-energized the Kings so much. I mean, big the time. Strike crushed it, but I mean, I went to the game where they got the cup. I was that.
Oh, was that that game?
Yeah.
You mean when they won the cup?
Yeah, when they got the cup.
I went to
on
the season
ice.
Opener when they raised the banner.
Yeah,
and got, you know.
And nice. It took my daughter to the parade. There was like 300,000 people there to be happy about the King. So I think it turns every city like you probably in Florida. Anytime a team goes on a long playoff run, it just once a city gets into playoff hockey. Yeah. There's nothing like it.
Oh, my gosh. Really, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like overtime playoff hockey, man. Right. There's nothing like especially being there.
But, Vinny, you were here during the Kings' run.
Yeah.
There were, like, purple sombreros at the parade. And I'm like, Mexican hockey fans? What? You know, like, it blew your mind to go. And then when you look at the statistics for Staples Center, you think it's a Lakers town. L.A. is mostly Lakers-Dodgers.
Yeah.
Clippers have always been a dumpster team, right? It's never been a team that people – And all of a sudden, the Kings come along, and then you looked at the stats, and it's been like this for years and years. Since Staples has opened, the Kings are the number one in attendance. They beat the Lakers.
Yeah. Wow.
And they're number three in the league. I mean, the Kings actually have a lot to be proud of, and a lot of people like to make fun of Southern California and how are you guys actual hockey fans, or maybe we're not the smartest fans, because you do go to games and you'll hear people being like, "What's up, Kopi? I don't understand. Like, you were so good in the playoffs. What's up this year, man?" Yeah. You're like, "Guys, just relax."
Yeah,
no, 100%. But you know, that's the thing, though. I think you just respect. You know, they came in '67,
right,
with the Flyers and the Penguins. I mean, they're just, you know, there's a lot of old time hockey fans in this town.
Oh yeah,
you know, that's why. Like, I immediately, that was my team when I moved here, is like as opposed to the Ducks.
What year?
Ducks were technically better.
What year did you move here?
90 something.
No, I don't know. Like in the 2000, Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It, literally that week.
2007.
Yeah. Was that late? I thought it was earlier with the Bush with
Katrina.
Hey, Brownie, you did a good job.
It was literally that weekend, though, because like the movers like lost our stuff or didn't know where our stuff was at. Yeah. But we still had our TV plugged into DirecTV.
There's probably no way of finding out.
And there was no way of really feeling sorry for yourself when you just see like everyone else just floating in the Gulf.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are my toys? Well, look at these kids. They don't have a house.
I know. That's happening right now with that typhoon out there. But there's probably no way of finding out when Katrina was exactly.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, if it's not on the NHL Network, you know. Oh, is John on the line?
No, I'm going to call him.
Okay, cool. There we go.
The other thing I was going to say, if you don't mind me just sort of throwing out there, is you grew up in Florida, where you say there's a lot of New York transplants. And
New York, there's Canadian transplants. There's
from everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
it's Canadian and New York, Boston. A lot. When Boston plays, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So you had a lot of parents, a lot of friends who knew hockey, and they could teach hockey, and you guys could play street hockey. You grew up in Pittsburgh, where literally it's a hockey town.
Yes.
DC, we played basketball and football and baseball, and hockey wasn't, I just wasn't exposed to it, and it wasn't, I just didn't have the opportunity to really get to play, and definitely skate. We'd never skate.
John.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Joe Bartnick, and we're with Vinny Coppola and Aaron Cater, and we have on the line the great John Campanera.
Campanera.
What's happening, buddy?
On the line.
How are you enjoying the Blackhawks this year?
Oh my God, they're on fire right now. They just won 6-7, and I'm loving it, man. They're my team, and they still got all their nucleus back from last year. They added some guys, and they picked up this rookie, this Don Fury, who's really tough, and you know, they got Saad from last year, who was from Pittsburgh.
He's an Arab.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's awesome. And, you know, the best thing they ever did was they kept, you know, they signed these guys like Hossa and Taves and Kane and, you know, Duncan Keith, the long-term contracts. So they were able to
keep their core.
Keep those guys on board, which was their nucleus, and then add some role players that really helped them win a cup last year, and they're all back this year. So
yeah, you know,
I think
John,
it's going to be there again.
Yeah, John, I said it when it happened. They, of the four best teams the last 4 years that won the cup, that all made the finals last year, Chicago was the smartest. They kept their five or six best players and got rid of all the rest. You know, every other team, the Penguins, the Kings, Boston, they got a little sentimental, and they kept a lot of third and fourth liners around that didn't help them in the end.
Yeah.
You kept the core and then turned everybody else over.
Yeah.
You know, and you also didn't pay Niemi. And, you know, every other team paid their goaltender a buttload and didn't have enough room under the cap. You let Niemi go. Now you end up paying Crawford, but so what? You know, you have two cups.
Yeah.
Think about it, John. How long you've lived, you didn't have a cup. Now you got two.
No. I know. You know what's funny?
It's true.
After the first time they won a few years ago, they had a fire sale because they just didn't have the cap room. There was no choice. So they wanted to keep Niemi. But, you know, he was going to get offered more money, which he did, and he went with the money, which he had to. And, you know, they ended up signing Crawford, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they had this fire sale because they just didn't have the cap space, but they were able to still hold on to their nucleus. And that's what eventually it took them a couple of years before they found that third and fourth liners that helped them win a cup again. But this particular time they won it and were able to retain most of the guys. You know, they had to give up. They had to give up a couple guys I didn't like to see go, but, you know, they needed to sign Pickle, so they left a couple guys, you know, vulnerable, and sure enough, you know, they let that really fast skater go. I forget where he went.
Oh, well, Boland went to Toronto. He got hurt now. You're talking about Dave Boland?
Boland they let go, and they let go that other guy. He was super fast. I think he's on the Predators now.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but we'll just skip ahead. I don't want to look it up
that's the key this year. They were able to retain most of their guys, and you know, some of these guys are bringing up are tough. This Perry stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what?
By the way, I went to the Kings. We were just talking about the Kings and how after they won the Cup, I went to the opening game when they raised the banner last season. And opening game was against the Blackhawks. And they raised the banner. They got their rings. There was a couple of speeches. All the greats were there. And then Chicago went out and destroyed them. Like, it was like 5-0 or 5-1 or something. We all left the arena going, well, at least we got a cup, right? I mean, hey, last year was great. Remember last year? And I was glad.
That's not unusual, you know.
Right.
When people are raising banners, their heads are really not in the game. That happens a lot, I think.
Yeah.
It does happen a lot. And we were all saying that. But at the same time, we said, Chicago might be really good. And then for them to go on to win, it made us all feel better. Like, hey, well, I mean, they're champions. I mean, you know, of course we're going to.
Well, you never want to invite the Blackhawks in for, like, homecoming weekend.
No. Yeah, exactly.
You want to bring, like, the Phoenix Coyotes or.
Yeah. Florida Panthers.
Yeah, bring them in.
For the record, it was Victor Stahlberg.
And an unbeaten streak, like 23 games. They set an NFL record, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, they were the best team.
It was really something special. And then people are thinking, well, man, anything less than the cup now would be so anticlimactic.
Yeah.
They were the best team all year. And I said when there was the Final Four, it was Pens, Bruins, Kings, Blackhawks, any one of those four teams
awesome.
You know, could win it and, you know, deserve to win it. It would, for the record, it was Victor Stahlberg, who's now
National
Writer. You know what I'll say this, though, John? Like, you know, like a couple years ago, people would just, for argument, want to compare Taves and Kane to Malkin and Crosby, and you're like, they're not Malkin and Crosby. Mm. I'll tell you what, now they're better than Malkin and Crosby.
Yeah.
You know, you trade them straight up
in
a second. You know, 3 years ago, you'd be like, no, I'd rather have Malkin than Kane. Yeah. Now it's like, maybe you'd rather have Kane.
Maybe, but you never know.
I think that's a big, that would be a very debatable thing, you know, who you would want to start a team with if you had your druthers, you know, would it be Crosby or Taves? And, you know, I think, you know, Taves is, you know, I think he's, that's a tough choice, you know, because this guy, not only is he a great center and a good offensive threat, but he plays really good defense too.
Mm. He seems to handle his emotions a little better than Sid. You know, he doesn't take stupid penalties. I'm not trying to knock Sid.
Yeah, but Sid can do so much that he extends himself.
But he also
himself,
seems to be a little more durable, too, and I think that's a big thing,
exactly.
That's actually what I was going to say.
The fact that you're on the ice more, you know?
Chicago was it was healthy all year, and it was a short season, and a lot of people got hurt, or they were coming into the season hurt. Chicago was healthy the whole – not only healthy, I mean, they were killing people. And going into the playoffs, you could just – you kind of see it coming. They had so much skill. They were so fast. They could shoot, score a lot of points.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for force.
I don't know. Well, you know what? Sharp and Hossa were out for extended periods of time, but then they got healthy for the playoffs. So they were there when it really counted at the end. And, you know, like you said, it's a test of attrition. Who's the healthiest when it really counts near the playoffs? And they happen to be going into it healthy. But not only were they healthy, but they're very skilled players, so it really made a big difference in the playoffs. And, you know, I got to say, when Pittsburgh went down, it shocked me the way they went down to
Boston,
right? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, if Pittsburgh went down, this easy to Boston. Boston's going to kill the Hawks.
Yeah.
And then when the Hawks came through and won it in game six, I went, oh, my God, this is almost bigger than their first Stanley Cup couple of years ago, because I think after Boston, beat up on Pittsburgh the way they did, nobody thought they were going to lose to the Hawks.
I was a little nervous.
I actually thought that Chara ran out of gas.
Yeah.
I just think the Penguins, he basically double shifted against the Penguins. He played Malkin and Crosby.
Yeah.
And he just seemed a little bit run again. And, the Blackhawks had four lines that were just swarming the puck,
Mm-hmm. I think the best game last year, if you remember when Pittsburgh went down 0-2 and they had to win that third game. Do you remember the third game in Boston?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, how unbelievable that game was, and how fast paced and hard hitting, and that was one of the greatest hockey games I ever saw, because Pittsburgh knew if they went down 0-3 it was over. And so they fought their heads off, and Boston would not relinquish. And it was just an unbelievable game. It was like one of the greatest games I ever saw.
I know, believe me, because I flew home to watch game five, and it never happened. I went to a Pirate game that night, John. And you know how much I love baseball. Yeah. I had a ticket that didn't matter. That's funny. Even this year, NBC rivalry night, Boston played Pittsburgh, and it was the closest thing to a playoff game you'll ever see. And it was just amazing on NBC a few weeks ago. It was so fast-paced and hard-hitting. It was great. But now, since we have you on the line, and you're a great Chicago guy, south of Chicago, what do you make of them stealing the party's helmet and pouring beer on them?
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's like you always get one guy that gives everyone else a bad name. That's almost like, I'm a White Sox fan, and you had the father and son who jumped over the wall and beat up the third base coach. Remember that? And I'm like, I'm watching the game, and I'm watching this going down, and I'm thinking, man, I'm from the south side of Chicago, and, you get these two drunk father and son, and they decide to beat up the coach. They're in the middle of the game, and you're like, now they're just giving all White Sox fans a bad name. And it's the same thing that happened. You get one jerk-off kid who decides to, take his helmet, and then another one pours a beer on him. It was like insult to injury. Not only did he lose his helmet, but then they throw a beer on him.
Yeah. But the funny part was that he puts the helmet on, and then he holds his hands up like it was a victory for him. And the guy looked like he'd probably taken some concussions to the head, too. I mean, he didn't look all there.
I think he just goes
I'm sure he needed the helmet on his head after the fans were going to pelt him with something for making them all look bad,
I think it proves that you should lower the ticket prices, because obviously the people down there had so much money they could waste a beer. That chick could waste a beer. I mean, at $12 a beer, I'm not pouring it on anybody.
Nobody.
If my wife's on fire, I'm looking for water. Right. I'm not wasting that beer.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And you think the people that are sitting that close, it costs a lot of money for those people.
That's what I'm saying.
You think they'd have some kind of decorum, that kind of money. Here you probably find out the guy's a doctor, a lawyer, but he goes crazy.
He loses it when he gets there.
or maybe he realized he was on national TV and he wasn't with his wife. He's like, I better get this helmet for when I get home. Yeah. Get kicked in the head.
I was kind of hoping they would get a hold of him and beat him up. But.
Yeah, do a Hanson Brothers move where they all just go into the...
Right.
Yeah.
Or Mike Milbury off his shoe.
Yeah, beat him with his own shoe.
I know the Hawks organization, put out an apology in the paper to the team and to the guy because of what happened. This isn't indicative to all our fans.
I know Blackhawk fans are great fans. I mean that is. I never went to the, and John, you've been to the went to the old Chicago Stadium, right?
Oh yeah!
How amazing was that?
That was to this day you'll have all the old timers will tell you that was one of the loudest places to play a hockey game in. The Madhouse on Madison, man.
I saw one game in there.
Oh, you
yes,
did?
Yes, I did.
I heard the organ was like louder than a jet plane taking off when the organ would play.
It was loud. Yeah,
really.
It's a great stadium.
Or when they scored a goal, it was just deafening because. Something about that place, the acoustics were unreal. So when people you know, when people started screaming, it was just, it was crazy. And you know what I love, too, is that, you know, before every game, when they're singing the national anthem, how crazy the fans are going. I think that's a Chicago thing that is unto itself. That you don't usually see that around the league. People are more respectful. They stand and they salute and they sing the song. Yeah. In Chicago, they're whistling and screaming from the time he starts singing the national anthem until it's over with.
You know, during the finals, yeah, every game they sang the anthem, and I would watch it and go, we're so lame in L.A. Look at these guys. They're going crazy during the anthem.
Yeah. I know. It's just it's a tradition there, and they just. But I guess it gets the players all pumped off because, you know, you can always tell the first period they're coming out rocking in Chicago. That first period, you know.
Yeah. What's the what was the old story about Pat Kane beating up a taxi driver? How much of that is true, and does it change your opinion of him, or has he matured since then?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, he's matured a ton. I mean. Yeah, it happened, and you know, and he did. He had to do community service or something for it. So it wasn't like he denied it, but I'm sure he was hammered, and I'm sure he got into disagreement with the taxi driver, and I'm sure he probably hit him. And I'm not denying anything, but I think he's grown a lot from it because he even mentions it before they would bring it up, and he would just attribute it to being young and dumb and.
Yeah,
you know, a kid, and you know he was only like 19 or something when it happened.
I actually
20.
Think it's a tribute to hockey that the only problem we have in the whole sport is a 19-year-old kid got drunk and roughed up a cab driver trying to rip him off.
That's a good
as
point.
Opposed to like you know shooting people or stabbing people, committing suicide in the parking lot.
A little different than the football.
That's a good point.
You know, that is a good point.
You know, shooting people or cold cocking your wife.
Right. That's true. Do you think Kane will be a captain for Team USA?
You know what? I could see him being captain. I could see him easily because I think he's probably the premier name or the biggest. Attraction they have as far as talent goes, so
right.
I could easily see him being the captain of the USA team.
So we got Kane, we got Quick, we got maybe Dustin Brown, or I don't know. Who
yeah,
else.
Dustin Brown will be there. We have a lot of good defensemen,
right?
You know, it's gonna be a struggle. It's gonna be fun though. I mean,
have you noticed?
Hey, John, are you gonna play? Are you gonna go after the Olympics this year?
With the you know taking the inches off the padding and stuff. Have you noticed how many? More goals are being scored?
A little bit more. I don't know. Here's a good question for John. Do you like the new hybrid icing? Have you caught that at all?
The new icing?
The what?
The hybrid icing. Have you seen the difference in the game with that?
No, I haven't. I haven't really been brought to my attention.
Well, they changed the rule for icing, so it's not... It's not touch icing, but if they clear it out how do you explain that rule?
If the defensive guy beats the offensive guy to the circle dot, they just call icing.
Oh, I thought it was at the ref's discretion if they think it's.
That's the good point because I think that's what's even worse is I don't mind the new icing, but they've done away with the. Yeah, you know, he was gonna. It was a pass. It wasn't a clear let play go on.
Yeah,
and of all the teams, that really crushes the Penguins because they're big on the stretch passes and always like, oh, they're trying to make the pass. They'll wave the icing. Today's they don't wave the icing as much. It really makes the game choppy. It's good if you haven't noticed it.
I've noticed that there's a few calls where last year they would have let them go in and touch it, and somebody could have gotten hurt. So I mean. They're just trying to avoid injuries. They don't care about the game. They're just trying to avoid the injuries.
Right, but I don't remember that many. I mean, I don't remember that many people getting hurt on icings. Do you remember? I mean, maybe one a year.
Yeah, because they'd have to chase it down, and somebody'd have to touch it, and then somebd fall
into the boards. Right.
It's kind of they're kind of taking the excitement out of it, though. You know,
could you guys believe how long they went that? That fight went on with Emery and that other goalie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know.
He must have punched him in the head 13 times before the ref stopped it.
He did. Well, he still
was just watching. Just the reference is something watching.
He stole Emery's stash.
And the other guy, the other guy didn't even want to fight.
Yeah,
no,
it was
he didn't.
And then the ref kept people away. Let it go. Well, the guy just punched him in the head 13 times.
How long
do you want to let it go?
That ref is lucky that Holtby doesn't have a concussion.
Seriously.
Or something bad happened. You know, it's funny because, you know, I was rooting for the Blackhawks obviously when they played the Flyers, but I was happy. I was happy for them to win last year for you. But I don't like Emery.
Yeah, I don't like Emery either.
He was the one guy who I did not want his name on the cup.
And there's a lot of goalies who wouldn't want to fight Emery. I mean, regardless of the fact the guy didn't want to fight in general.
There's a lot of boxers who don't want to fight Emery.
Yeah, nobody wants to fight Emery. Yeah. John, where are you at on fighting in general?
I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest with you. I could care less if they fought. It doesn't, like, stimulate me or, like, oh, yeah, there's a fight, man. I love this. Yeah. I'm just not one of those guys. I play like a couple, three times a week, so I really enjoy the finesse and the stick handling and the skill level. I could care less about the fighting, to be honest with you.
For the record, John still got wheels. He's like Paul Coffey out there, wheeling
really?
And dealing. Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
Guys playing the same league?
Oh well, I try to play. John actually plays. I mean,
I'm actually going in 10 minutes. I'm going to go play stick and puck over at the LA Kings Ice Center.
What?
Yeah, it's right down the street
in El Segundo.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
No, it's in Panorama City.
Oh, they're practice ice.
Oh,
they call it. The place is called LA Kings Valley Ice Center.
Oh, I know what you're talking. That's the new place that we play, or we used to play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No.
They just lent their name to it, and it's got two rinks there, and there's one for the figure skaters and one for the hockey.
Yeah,
skaters.
It's great. It's awesome. Great. How long you been playing over there?
I've been playing the last couple years.
Over there, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's great because they offer like stick time, 4 times a day.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where Schneider took our game.
Yeah, so you can go at 8:30 in the morning, like 11:45, 1:30, and then there's a 3.
Yeah,
so it's really.
I really like that rink. Yeah, I played there a couple times.
How's your squad this year?
Well, I just go. I'm Mr. Stick Time. I don't play on a team because I'm not around enough to substantiate it.
Yeah.
Because they want like $500 to join the team. Mm.
Oops.
And I said, hey, I'll play with you guys if it's on a game-to-game basis and you need someone, but I can't commit to that because I'm not around enough. You know?
Remember when you were playing in our basketball league, the Comics Basketball League?
he was Jerry Seasting. He'd always come off the bench, bang him. You know, our team's finally good this year, John, but that's a whole other subject. Well, 2 years ago we got good. But who knows?
Yeah,
now.
Really.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. But well, John, complete pleasure having you. The great John Campanera. Please,
hockey IQ.
Oh, he knows all sports. He's a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
And please say hi to the wife and kids. They're a great family, great guy, one of the funniest guys out there, John Campanera. Thank you very much, John.
Hope good to talking to you, buddy. John.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for having me. And,
have fun on the ice today.
Yeah.
Bury a couple for us.
That's right.
All right, man. You guys be good, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, John.
Yeah. See you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was a great John Campanera. I mean, John, he's one of the greatest guys ever. And, I mean, he's not a young man, but he still goes after it 3 times a week on the ice.
That's cool to see, though. And plus, when you meet John, like, I remember growing up, and before I started comedy, I used to see him on TV.
He was Up Close with Roy Firestone.
Yeah. That's when I first met him, it's like, you get used to that at the Comedy Store where you might see, comics, and every once in a while, like Chris Rock, I was a little starstruck when he first came in, and guys like that. But Campanera, I was like, all excited to talk to him, and he was so nice, super cool.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
He's the best. We're wrapping it up in a couple more minutes here. What are your predictions for the season, Vincenzo?
That the Panthers are not going to make the playoffs. That's
Well, they fired their coach recently.
They fired that. Hartichuk is the guy now.
Hartichuk. It's funny because they said, we fired the coach because we can't fire 23 people, right? And I was like, well, that don't work for you.
I've had my heart broken so many times.
Unless you're United Airlines, then you can fire thousands of people.
Yeah, right. But matter of fact, the name on the back of my jersey is the mascot.
Well, let me see. Yeah. Like, Oh, Stanley Cup.
Stanley C.
Oh, Stanley.
It's Stanley C. Panther is the mascot. And a lot of people think I'm a fool for doing that. And other people are like, why are you good? I go, because he can't be traded.
Yeah, Stanley
well,
C.
Well, that's a you know
he's
what?
Panther.
He's the only one that won't get traded is the mascot because every single great player we have, we immediately trade. Mm-hmm. We immediately trade. I mean, they like Luongo.
He was a Panther?
Yeah. Oh, Luongo. Ray Whitney.
The Wizard.
Yeah, so many. Who was the other? Roberto Vokoun, Tomas Vokoun. That was an all-star. Yeah, I mean, everybody.
I'd love to see that list of former Panthers.
Well, here's I actually thought of off the top of my head: Nathan Horton, Stu Barnes, Ray Whitney. I started writing them down as
Keep going.
Oh, Ray Whitney, Tom Fitzgerald, David Booth. He was one of my favorites. Roddick Dvorak, Brian McCabe, Pavel Bure. We had for a very Pavel Bure, Trevor Kidd. You know, all these great, and as soon as we trade them, they become all stars.
Yeah. The guy that went to Detroit this year. Now I look stupid. I'm going to look him up.
So yeah, look him up.
Did you watch Pavel Bure's retirement last week?
Oh, you mean his, when they retired his jersey? His number.
His number. Did you see his wife? I thought they should have retired her jersey, too. Hey.
Pavel Bure was known for some of the greatest looking women ever on his shoulder. He kind of invented the, right there, Stephen Weiss.
Weiss!
Oh, nice. Stephen, Jesus, breaking the story. Let's keep it together for a couple more seconds.
Stephen Weiss is, One, my brother would call him Weiss. Yeah, Weiss.
Here's the funny thing, though, is that you shouldn't have put Stanley on your name, on your thing, because until you've won the Stanley Cup, you should never mention the Stanley Cup.
That's the guy's, that's the mascot's name, Stanley C. Panther.
Well, then you're jinxed as a franchise.
Maybe.
No, literally, because that's why, like, you know, you never, even Melrose to this day will never be photographed next to the cup.
That makes a lot of sense.
And you never, if you're a hockey player, you never get near the cup unless you've won the cup. You never mention the cup.
I jinxed my team.
Even like with the Hall of Fame, kids are touching it, women are touching it. Like, I just looked at the cup. I never touch it because you know what? I never paid the price.
Yeah.
I should have.
In the NHL to touch that cup.
That's the deal. And everybody who's a hockey fan knows that that is the deal. You don't touch. And I should have brought the picture so I could show you, but since it's a podcast. but just to show you, but when we went to the Hall of Fame, the Kings were in the middle of their run. And I think it was the first or second round of the playoffs. We got to the cup. Everybody's touching it. And my wife goes, "Don't touch the cup." And I'm like, "Why not?" She goes, "What are you, crazy? The Kings are, I mean, you're going to jinx it." And I was like, okay, so I took a picture where I was not touching the cup, like had my hands around it but not touching it.
Yeah.
But did you see the actual cup, the first cup? They're like, this punch bowl, like some platinum, you know, whatever, you know, punch bowl. And so it was like amateur, you know, sport back then. And so Lord Stanley's in town. They're like, they asked Lord Stanley, they go, "Why don't you provide like a trophy?" And he was staying in the hotel. And he just turns to this and he goes, "How about this? How about this?" And he just basically just lifts a cup, like a big punch bowl, out of the hotel he was staying and offers it to him. Like, that wasn't his to give away.
Yeah.
Right. First of all, that belonged to the hotel, Stanley. Yeah. You spoiled lord.
Lord.
Yeah. Well, you know, but it's the jinx, though.
It is the jinx.
You know, it is the jinx.
Well, this explains a lot.
Well, sorry.
Hey, what's up? All right.
Aaron, what's your thoughts on the season ahead?
Well, right now I am really excited about the Kings. They got so many guys. They're so deep. I really do feel like they have a chance. But they have to play that style that they played before, where they just have a stick on everybody all the time and frustrate the other team and win some 1-2-0 game kind of things. Quick is back. I'm really excited about the Kings. I don't know about the Caps. I'm really mostly 100% Kings at this point. So I'm excited about that. I still would like to see Penn's Kings Finals, not just for you, but for my wife. She's such a huge Crosby fan, and she loves the Pens. And so that would be my treat.
You have to come over for a game. Come meet me, Casa. A game. That'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do a hockey night in Canada.
Yeah, there we go. Quick is back. Beginning of the season a little shaky. They're going to miss Carter though.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. I didn't get the most updated injury, but you know what? Yeah. You know what's nice about the Kings, because they're in the street fight right now for a playoff spot, is they're good at shootouts. And people underestimate how much that matters. You gain an extra 8 to 10 points. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, because Quick is on stuff. I don't know if they practice. Like, the Penguins practice shootouts.
Yeah.
And it gets the goalie so much. It gets Flurry's really good at them. It really, and you get it. You got Carter, and you got Carter. You got Kopitar. I love Kopitar.
Yeah. You know, Anze was basically hurt all last year.
It's Anze.
Anze.
No, because I literally interviewed him, and I called him Anze. Anze. And he goes, it's Anze.
Anze.
He's talking about being starstruck. We just I'm going to release this soon, actually, if you're listening on my website. The NHLPA had me interview the players. He's talking about being starstruck. I was like, my wife loved it. She's like, I've never seen you act like a schoolgirl ever before. Like, so you said, anybody. Yeah.
You said Anze. And
yeah, because I knew it was Anze, but just at the second, because they're like, oh, who do you want to interview? Like, they're lining up to, for me to interview him. And I'm like, this guy. They go, okay, where's Kopitar? And I was like,
rules.
I do want to add, since I don't have the opportunity to be in this kind of forum a lot, is a buddy of mine, he gets these really great tickets. It's a kind of a guy who's on TV. He's kind of a star. I don't want to drop his name and ruin it for him. But anyway, he when he can't go to the Kings games, and they're kind of next to Alyssa Milano there, and the tickets come with the pass to go downstairs where the locker room, there's a bar down there.
Right.
Sweet.
So we'll hang out, and I've met a lot of the guys, and they're super cool. And of all the athletes I've met, hockey guys are the coolest.
By far.
I mean, they don't have the biggest egos. They don't blow you off. If you talk to them, like Reguer came up, he's mixing it up. And that was the game Quick had that own goal where he mishandled it?
Yeah.
And then the crowd, then the next time a puck was cleared, he handled it right. And the crowd went crazy. And Quick looks to the crowd and is like, okay, all right. And we all look at each other. We're like, that's not cool. The crowd shouldn't be cheering their own goalie.
You know what? I just thought that was proof that there's just too many New York assholes that moved to LA.
Maybe.
Like that's a Bronx thing. That's not like an LA. That's not a hockey thing.
We go up to Quick after, we were like, give it back to him. Fuck those guys. And he goes, yeah, fuck them, man. They didn't even hear about Kings hockey until we won the cup anyway.
Yeah, like, so true.
And we were like, just, and he, Quick is so, he says fucking every other sentence. Like every other sentence.
And he's like the littlest kid in the world.
Yeah.
He's like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
No, I met him at Fox. He's like he was a super nice guy, but he was so small and so boyish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He really
if
is.
If I may say.
He can't really do the playoff beard fully. And
no, yeah.
I love him, though. I love him. He's a world-class athlete.
Yeah, he's good.
So I have that opportunity maybe a couple times a season when my buddy comes through. We get to meet those guys. But really, I think the season is going to be about the West because I think specifically our division, our Pacific division, that's got to be the deepest, most competitive in the NHL this year.
Yeah. Well, I just think the state of California has about a 75% chance of
winning the cup.
Of winning the cup.
Yeah.
And I think it's the three California teams in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, St. Louis, they never score enough goals when it matters. Because, they're big and physical, like a Hitchcock team, and they get in your grill. But in the playoffs, everybody does.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter.
And
in
this
the playoffs.
Is it's true. And I, you know, I like Boudreaux. I've always liked Boudreaux.
Oh, yeah, Barbecue Bruce.
You know? I've never really rooted for the Bruins. And this is the wrong year for a Ginla to try to get a cup. But if I'd like for a Ginla to get one.
Ginla, he joined the Penguins. Obviously, it was a little weird. Bosma was weird. He put him on a. He should have played with Sid.
Yeah.
Bottom line, he shouldn't have. Then they didn't know what to do with him. And he got in the wrong third line and this and that.
It's a short season. But why didn't they re-sign him?
Well, he wanted too much money. Yeah. Now he's in Boston. But total class act again.
Yeah.
Total class. But I will say this. I thought it was just weird. It wasn't acclimated to the Penguins. But I watch a lot of Bruins games. He got older.
Yeah.
And if you've been watching this show,
he's not
Calgary again.
No, to me, this is like when Barkley went to the Houston Rockets at the end. It was like, too late.
Speaking of old friends, though, who still look a little old but still pretty good, was Jagr's. He's got three in a row.
Yeah,
he's 21 points now behind Lemieux. Wow. They're like seventh place, and then you're up in Everest. After, I mean, it goes like Lemieux. Iserman.
Do they hate Jagr in Pittsburgh?
You know, it's like half the fans do, and because they're foolish, and the other half know exactly what he meant.
Oh, my gosh.
I've gone on this rant of several times. I won't do it again. We can talk off the air, but I'm sure people are going to fast forward us if I go another 10-minute speech about why they should love Jagr.
He's great.
He put it this way: Crosby needs another cup and about 15 more incredible moments to be the second greatest penguin of all
time. That's true.
You know?
Absolutely. I totally agree with that one.
I mean, I used to have Yager on my Christmas tree until it became a flyer.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
I have him on the top of the tree like Jesus. And then when he became a flyer, I took him down, but I put him in the closet. And I figured that's why we lost the cup, because I didn't just throw him away. Because once you become a flyer, I have to wash my hands of you.
Yeah.
Most superstitious.
you're okay again with him now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm totally okay with him. And he became a star. I love the guys that come. I think they live in Edmonton, where he plays there, they wear every jersey where he's ever been.
Yeah.
They dress like Yager with the mullet.
Yeah.
I never told this story. This is a good story. I used to have I was at Stick Poster Day for the St. Francis Courage to Come Back Fund. And this chairman was Ron Francis, and then Yager was in the poster
Ron
too.
Francis.
Yeah, Ron Francis.
Yeah, rules.
Yeah, he's my man.
Yeah.
So before they wheel out this kid who got caught in the crossfire, jumped in front of his friend in a gang fight, got shot, now he's paralyzed, now he can kind of walk. Sad story. Everyone's stick tapping, but it's, you know, you're going to cry. And then you get a poster. And the poster I got two of them, as of Francis, like, smiling with a grin and just mullet Yager. Just smiling, like, yeah. And I had it hanging in my bedroom. So every time I take a chick back to my room, it would be great. You know, we're in the room. And you would just see, like, you could look up and just see, like, Captain Ron giving you, like, the Yager. Like, this is great.
Do it, Bart. Yeah. Do it, bro.
The courage to come back. Little stick tap from the captain. I'll tell you something. This has been fantastic. You guys have been great. Please come back anytime.
A lot of fun.
We do miss our captain, though, part of the original sixth. Frazier Smith. I'm sure he'll be back next week with tons of stories, and he is the man. But thank you one more time, Vinny Coppola.
Thanks for having me.
Where can we follow you or find you or whatever?
You can follow me on Twitter, of course. Also, my website has just been given a new face, and it's totally functional, www.vinny.com.
Oh, you got Vinny.
Must have started early.
Yeah,
VINNIE.com. Just real quick, the guy who got me that website was a guy who saw the internet coming.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah, well, you got the juice.
Early.
You're part of the Sons of Anarchy Italian crew, so you got a little juice in there.
A little bit. Thank you, Jeff.
The great Aaron Cater, where can we find you?
I'm revamping my website as well. It'll be up soon. It's aaroncater.com, and I'm all over Twitter a lot, mostly for sports and politics.
Yeah, it's
gonna follow you, Aaron.
Yeah, let's follow each other on Twitter.
You're like one of the best people to follow because you actually put important stuff on Twitter.
Yeah,
I got to say, I like following you.
Oh, thanks, man. I try to. I mean, I love politics and sports. And
it's all goofy jokes with me, just warning people.
But my politics is goofy, so I do goofy jokes mostly.
Right on.
Yeah, Aaron Cater. It's just one AaronKader, and hopefully we get to hang out, man. It's good to be here, Joe.
Yeah, well, thank you guys again. I'm Joe Bartnick, and I'm JoeBartnick.com, at Joe Bartnick, whatever. It's easy. I always have tons of hockey stuff. That's all I really care about. And you've been listening to Puck Off. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.